Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the show that I do with my wife, Husbo and Sweetie. Today, it's just me, Husbo, a.k.a. Tristan, recording here. You may hear a lot of sound in the background. I'm at the train station right now. And I just came from watching Star Wars and The Force Awakens. And I'm doing this recording on the way home because I don't want to talk about it at home where my wife is. She hasn't seen the movie, and there are some pretty big moments in the film that I think would get spoiled for people. Fortunately, I was not one of those people who did a fantastic job not spoiling anything major. I don't know if there was some anything else to that, or if I was just really good at avoiding everything. Thank you, Tweetbot, for your mute feature. I love that. Or muffle, whatever it's called. I think muffle is terrific. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens, and there will be spoilers for sure. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you shouldn't listen. So anyway, Star Wars The Force Awakens is a movie that takes place 30 years after the end of Return of the Jedi, I believe. Luke Skywalker's disappeared, Leia's running the Resistance, which is basically the Rebellion, and there's a new Sith, or Dark Jedi, called Kylo Ren, who's running around, running the First Order, which is basically the Imperial Revenant. Revenant? From fan fiction now, which used to be the EU. And they're hunting Luke, I guess, because he's the last Jedi. That's what it says in the crawl at the beginning. But it was never really clear why they're hunting him, besides that he's the last Jedi. They want to destroy him, but I don't know. It seems like an awful lot to go through to get one guy who is not, who willingly disappeared himself. But anyway, let's see. I don't have any notes in front of me, so this is going to be a little random. I did see the movie in IMAX 3D. Which was pretty spectacular, probably one of the best movies to see in that form. So let's get into it. So I guess starting with the story, again, there will be spoilers, last warning. It does go to some pretty interesting places. I feel like the story scope was a bit small, and that could just be because there's, you know, years and, well, literal decades of fan fiction and... keep calling it fan fiction. It's the EU, which has now been relegated to fan fiction status, which really opens up the universe a lot, which is now kind of shrunk down. So when you first go in, you feel like it's a little small. Starting on a desert planet, I feel, it's a bit lazy. It's not Tatooine, but it basically is Tatooine. I mean, come on. That just seemed weird. Like, why change the planet? I guess... You don't want to set everything on Tatooine because that makes it even seem smaller, but then putting it on another desert planet, which is basically exactly Tatooine, that's whatever. And there's a stormtrooper who feels real bad about slaughtering innocent people during a raid that this dark Sith guy is doing because they're trying to find the map to find Luke Skywalker, and it's hidden in a droid. Does this sound familiar? A droid has a piece of information that is vital to the good guys. Oh, and also there's a big giant space base that can blow up planets. Okay. Anyway, so what happens then? Then the stormtrooper feels real bad and he changes sides. I felt like it was a bit weird for Finn to switch sides because he feels super bad about killing innocent people, which is fine. And then he immediately turns around, jumps in a TIE fighter and obliterates... like 100 guys in a hangar with a TIE fighter. I don't know. I guess they were bad guys, so whatever. This movie has J.J. Abrams all over it. Lens flares were kept to a minimum, which is good. Let's see. Then after that, they meet Han Solo. They get in the Falcon. That was a great reveal. Falcon? I don't know. Harrison Ford pronounces it two ways in the movie, too, so I don't know. And then they go to another planet where there's this alien who's like 1,000 years old, and then Luke's lightsaber is there, and then they go see Leia, and then they find out that there's another Death Star, but it's actually a planet now, and it blows up several planets, so it's even worse. This is kind of a part of the movie that bugs me, is it's all very familiar. Like, you have so much space to grow, and you have no real... ties besides the characters. That is a real tie, of course. but you don't have any, like, things that you really have to tie them down to. So making it basically a retelling of the New Hope. Is that New Hope? A New Hope? Not a retelling, but, like, using so many elements that are from A New Hope. Was it because they wanted to get new fans in? Or was it because they felt like they couldn't stray too far because then people would be not like it? Like, fans wouldn't like it? I don't know. It's just, those things kind of bug me. And also, there's a huge crisis. Last spoiler warning. Kylo Ren is the son of Han Solo, that Sith guy you see. Everybody thought it was Luke. I know, remember there was a big thing about that online. It's Leia and Han's son who Luke trained, and then he turned bad. And I think, you may have to correct me, but I believe in the extended universe, Han and Leia's son also became a dark Jedi and was, like, super strong, and he could cloak himself in the Force, which is super bad. I think he even killed Luke's son or Luke's daughter or something like that. But then it looks like he's going to switch sides, but then in a little twist, he apparently kills Han Solo. I mean, I say apparently because you never know with movies. They could say, oh, well, he was saved at the last second. But it's pretty obvious that he falls in a big hole and then the whole planet blows up. So I'm not sure how he survived that. Yeah, so that's that for the story. Effects-wise, it's a gorgeous movie. And I don't know, something about it doesn't feel Star Wars-y. Maybe because this, everything's been a little bit redesigned. And there's that new glossy special effect, you know, because even special effects have even come a long way since Revenge of the Sith. Especially Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones look just terrible now. But Sith looks a little better. But there's that nice gloss. And JJ tends to dirty things up, kind of putting, like, spray on the lens, you know, dirt, things like that to make it look a little grimier. Making things look more used. The universe definitely looks more used. It's not like a Attack of the Clones. I think it was Attack of the Clones, where that shiny mirror ship is flying around. There's, like, a perfect reflective chrome surface. So the effects are pretty good. Sound was pretty amazing. The music I felt was really forgettable. I believe it was a John Williams, right? I think. I don't remember. In any case, it's completely forgettable. I don't remember a single part of it besides the famous themes. In fact, the music from the trailers is way more memorable and way more impactful because it was heavier versions, basically, of the original themes remixed. I did like a few parts of the music, especially, like, the First Order stuff, because it sounds very marchy, and it sounds, you could almost put them to, like, a World War II propaganda film, which, I mean, the originals are trying to go for that. You know, George Lucas loved all that old pulpy science fiction stuff. So those tracks, I think, several of them could have been, you know, from something like that, and they work really well. The acting was great. I love John Boyega. I'm a huge diehard fan of Attack the Block, so I was just so happy to see him back doing a fantastic American accent, or whatever, non-British accent, I guess, non-Cockney accent. I like our new female lead. I felt like all the original actors coming back was great. I felt like the big emotional moments were left to the new actors, which is great. I think letting them shine and letting the others kind of take a bow and walk backwards is, or, you know, back off, rather, I should say, was a good move. I think we'll be seeing a couple of them again. Obviously not the one I mentioned before, unless they're going to pull a Marvel and bring him back from the dead. Yeah, great performances. Kylo Ren being torn between two sides of light and dark was pretty great. Even if it was, I don't know if it was his plan or if he really was tormented. But in any case, in those few moments, there's a scene where Han meets Kylo Ren, or Ben, I guess, on like a big long walkway. It's kind of the last scene between them. And they have like a moment, and well, that was completely unnecessary. Some child and their doorways freaking out. Not at me, some playing around. God, that hurt my ears. And so there's a scene on the walkway, and Kylo's acting like he's being torn between the two sides, and he's tormented, and I think he says, "I'm being torn apart inside," or something like that. And it's a really emotional moment, I felt like, and it immediately struck me how in three films they couldn't get Anakin ever to be convincing with that, ever, not once. And in a tiny little section with a tiny little monologue in a movie where a character was just introduced, they managed to be more emotionally impactful. Like, I was really moved by that. Because he does strike me as a not spoiled, but really tormented and lost kid. Whenever he gets angry and he just takes it out on whatever thing is around him, he just busts his lightsaber out and starts smashing things. It's just a very childish, like, overly emotional response. And it also reminds you that the Sith are destructive at their core, which is pretty, I thought was pretty great. He was one of my favorite characters. I didn't like his hairdo that much, but it is a Sith thing to have long, dumb hair, I guess. Let's see, what else? Another thing with Rey, who's our new protagonist. You would think from the trailers that Finn was a main character, but it's actually her. And I wanted more Poe Dameron, actually, who's the ace pilot with the black X-Wing you've probably seen all the toys of. Why did the toys come out like months before the movie? And I've heard people comparing her to Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road. That is not the case at all. She's a great female lead, and it's awesome to see her in a movie, but y'all don't compare anybody to my girl, Charlize, in that movie, because Mad Max is a masterpiece, and Furiosa is one of the strongest female characters in cinema recently, and I think people saying, like, it's a golden age for feminist heroes. I don't think that's the case with Rey. I think she's a really great character. And I think if it wasn't for Mad Max, Fury Road, I think I would feel a lot more of that feeling. But because Charlize Theron just completely kills it in Mad Max, like, one of my favorite characters in the last, you know, several years, for sure. I think Rey comes off as a little bit more meek, which is fine. That's who she's supposed to be. But she's also very childlike, and there's a certain amount of whimsy to her, like giggliness, which I liked. It's not in a cute way, but that she's very open to what's happening, and it's fun to see that. She's very curious, I think, because she's been just stuck on that planet the whole time, the not Tatooine planet. So there's that. What else is there to talk about? I guess just other things I liked about it or didn't like about it was, I feel like it moved pretty quick, maybe a little too quick in times, and it spent too much time with other things. I'm glad it took time to set up. I did see it in IMAX 3D, as I mentioned. The 3D is really good. Lots of depth. I do like that we see the Millennium Falcon basically do a Tokyo Drift, which is great. During one scene, it just kind of uses the sand, because it's basically a flying frisbee. That's what the thing is. Flying frisbee, that's redundant. But it kind of skips it, and she does a little drift on the sand to make a hairpin turn, which I thought was pretty great. Definitely left me wanting more, I think. Meaning, I want to see the next one. I don't know. I think they've announced it. Is JJ doing the next one? I'm not quite sure, but I think he's probably not. I definitely went in with worry after what happened with Into Darkness, which I think is a disaster of a movie, and quite frankly, Beyond looks like a heap of burning garbage. Talking about Star Trek, Beyond looks like a trash fire. But this, I think, did pretty well, and I'm looking forward to what they can do next. And, it really sounds like I disliked it when I talk about it, and I think that's unfair. I really, really enjoyed it, and I found myself smiling a lot. I even felt myself moved a few times, whether that's by nostalgia or by the actual quality of the film. It's hard to say, but I think it was a really great movie in a lot of ways. And I think the reason I pick on it is because I wanted even more, which I think is too much to ask. Because I wanted it to come in and fix three terrible movies that came before, meaning the prequels, which of course it had no responsibility of doing. But what I mean is that it had the responsibility of saving the legacy of that franchise. And I think it certainly did that. But at the same time, I still wanted more. I didn't want it to retread old ground. I didn't want it to... We have to get this droid to the Resistance. Oh no, we're almost within firing range of the Doom planet. You know, that stuff was just a little... There's always a way to blow these things up. We just gotta find a way. Like, you'd really think, like, come on. Death Star Trench, first time, okay. Exhaust port, yeah, that was a silly weakness. Second one, okay, who would expect a tiny little ship to fly like 15 miles into the center of something and then try to fly back out while it's blowing up? That's crazy. But making a third Doom planet, like, that's just, it's a bit silly. And also, Phasma, Captain Phasma, was that her name? The shiny chrome trooper. Wanted way more of her. I felt like we saw her for one scene or two scenes, and that was it. She was really played up in the trailers, and then they just say, like, hey, I'll shoot you. If you don't do what I say, I'm gonna blast you. And she just does what they say. Like, there's no toughness to that character at all, and she just kind of, falls off the... They make a joke about throwing her in a trash compactor, and it's like, that's it? Way to Boba Fett that character. Zing. Yeah. Definitely had an Empire tone, which I believe one of the writers who did Empire and Jedi came on to help write, or maybe he did the first draft, I don't remember. But it definitely has that feeling of, like, yeah, things are all right. But, like, the First Order's on the run at the end, or it's kind of hard to tell, at least as far as, like, their main base has been blown up. And, oh, I forgot to mention the main villain, Snoke, I believe is his name, who seems to be this ancient being of unknown stature. His hologram, when he talks to the villains, is really large, but I have a feeling he's really tiny, like Yoda size. And he kind of coaches or berates our villains throughout the film, and I thought that was pretty boring. I thought it was one of the weakest parts, was this Grand Overlord Snoke or whatever. It's just kind of like, I thought a little bit lazy to introduce such a kind of a dull villain so early. I think they should have left that for later in the series, or you know, make him a little more formidable, or make him more mysterious. Like, I remember when the Emperor came in the original Empire, he was shown only in shadow, and it was really unsettling, and we'd never seen him before, so everybody was blown away. You see Vader in this new room that you've never seen, and he's acting weak in front of someone. It's very strange and upsetting in that way, and this was just kind of like, well, we need a new overvillain. It's just, yeah, I don't know about it. Again, it really sounds like I'm picking on this movie, but I'm not. Like, there were so many great things. The lightsaber fight at the end, seeing Rey use shadows of Luke's fighting style, like his just brutal, no form kind of thing. The Force is never really explained. It's just like, it's part of the universe. The characters being mythologized. Is that a word? You know, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was just a myth, that kind of thing. Like, in only 30 years, the slate's kind of been wiped, and people don't know really what's going on anymore. It's a big galaxy, big universe, and people are kind of spread out. And it sounds like I'm crapping on the movie, but I'm not. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one. But I do think there were problems they could have fixed, and I hope the next one's even better, and they've set a pretty high bar. So we'll have to see how that goes. I'm very curious to find that out. But it's nothing compared to what will surely be the movie release of the century, which will be Ghostbusters next year. Check it out, 2016. It's going to be great. And, yeah, no Jedi in that one, I guess. Maybe there are? I don't know. Did they reboot it? I'm not sure.